Sadler, Brother and Sister, W.S., St. Helena, California, July 1906. Dear Brother and Sister Sadler, I wish to explain why your letter was not taken hold of at once. Matters that needed immediate attention had been waiting for me to place in right principles, which must come into all our institutions. There must be a decided change in some things. There were counsels of our brethren to ascertain in regard to the work in the future. I was not in any fit state of health to give myself to any line of work now, as I might have done at past periods, because every word would be criticized and misinterpreted by some. I have been suffering under influenza for weeks, yet have tried to do everything I could do. But I dared not call up things in the past that were said, and statements made on special occasions, that were in print, that I speak on. I have kept all my powers to await issues that might come any time, and be prepared to give the right version of matters. I am to keep silent. My speech must be less, even with my brethren, for they will use part and leave unsaid the parts that make things consistent. Silence, even in social conversations, is best. We had many things to call for immediate action, and letters to write to different ones doing labor in Southern California, and a variety of other places. I disliked very much to speak of things in the case of Jones, which are all written down, prepared to bring out. He is now where I shall respond to him. Poor man, he is he knows not where, and he is now to have his case presented as it has been to me. His position is the same as at Berrien Springs, and on several other occasions. But at Fresno, when the Lord laid the burden upon me for him and Elder Corliss, I could not sleep and wrote the matter out. The matter that I read in Fresno, he came forward, acknowledged it all, made a clear, hearty confession with weeping, and said every word was truth. Then he prayed and confessed to God, and he and Elder Corliss embraced each other and wept while clasping each other. Then afterward he told me concerning a private message I had for him. He was a converted man, and his wife was a happy woman, such as he had never seen her before, and all is the mind of Kellogg. In his mind, he is the voice of Dr. Kellogg, and he has been thoroughly warned of this danger, but he has fully developed now the mind and the spirit of Dr. K, and he is so ensnared he knows not what spirit he is of. All the proceedings in Fresno were reported, and the conference worker considering him was to relieve him of all responsibility. This council changed their decision only because I had said from the Lord that his reconversion was the only basis upon which the conference could permit him to serve out his term. Now all this backsliding of Jones was a great trial to me. I was trying in the name of the Lord to place him where he would not make shipwreck of faith. Then the work came upon me to help others' churches and conferences. The influenza was quite severe, but I would not yield. Maggie, my main dependence, was in danger. She had a cataract on her eye, and she has had it taken off. But for 2 months we have had no service from her. She was accidentally shot through the leg below the knee. We had a Dr. Rand, recently come from Boulder, a skillful surgeon. He extracted the ball, and she has had a severe time of it, but all concluded to keep it from me. Maggie was at the sanitarium, but I was, after 1 month, led into the matter, since I was deprived of Maggie. We must have help, and we now have Doris Robinson to help us, which is a great relief. I could not prepare the matter that should come to you for the Australian mail. I must have time to get out some light the Lord has given me. I have not had the privilege to control my own work, but had to be prepared to meet emergencies that might arise any time at Battle Creek. For there are constantly representations of the condition of things and the spiritual condition of souls. I may go to Battle Creek and again bear my testimony. There are very many things I have to communicate, past, present, and future. This we are doing. We shall see. The old hands are few now that understand the work in years past, so we shall reprint history of the past. Then I shall bring that which years ago, before my husband died, I was shown I would have to reprint, for not a pin or pillar had been moved from the building of the work the last 60 years. Every effort that Satan could make would be made to tear up the foundation of our faith in the third angel's message. See Ephesians, chapters 4 and 5, chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. There are two parties in our world. The satanic angels who claim to be the prince of the powers of the world are existing in numbers of evil, fallen angels, and they are constantly at work in all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Satan is making every effort in his power to deceive, if possible, the very elect.
I have much to speak of now in 1 and 2 Peter. These two epistles represent the two parties. Read and understand Revelation 3. Especially see the force of the first three verses and then trace down the whole chapter, a most tremendous testimony. Revelation 16, verse 13 to 21, 18, 21, 22. These are things which will call our minds in these last days. Thus hath it been given from God in solemn warning. The lesson is before us, reminding us of the things which will be. These things Christ himself made known to John while he was on the Isle of Patmos. They are the last events of this earth's history, and if Satan can keep minds confused now, he gains a great victory. I am instructed in a most forcible manner that the perils of the last days are upon us. I feel so sorry that any physician will stand in Satan's army on that eventful day. I have only tender feelings toward you, although your minds are confused. We cannot afford any confusion now, for it may be of death unto death. I never felt deeper pity for those who have walked deliberately into the nets Satan has prepared for their feet. We must now press to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus and make our paths straight. I am in no way discouraged. I am girding on the armor again. I spoke last Sabbath in the Sanitarium Church. They desire me to speak, and I have responded that I will. I now have to be very careful that not a line shall go forth from my pen that will hurt one soul.